Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in this great study series through the book of Ephesians, and we're delighted that you're with us. Today it's session 9, and if you need a catch-up or a review of all the sessions, I'll go over how to do that in just a few moments. But right now, we're ready to dive in. I know you are, too. So let's do it. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are ready to dive into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. And just to fill in what we covered last week, we really looked at the fact that this body is one, that we are unified around the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all entered or been placed into this body by one way, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus. And we stand together, Jew and Gentile. And as we work together properly, then we're going to see the body being built up in love. So Paul, in this next section, is going to really, I think, explain what it looks like or give us a picture of what it looks like for each part to be working properly. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going to be a fascinating study for us. Yeah. And so he starts right back kind of at a place that is so helpful. It's like, remember what you were before you came to know Christ. Mm-hmm. And what Christ has done, and that's going to be the framework for how you're to treat one another as fellow members of the body of Christ. So he says in verse 17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." And boy, he just comes out swinging, doesn't he, Richard?
Yeah. I mean, there's this word futility is one of them. I mean, there's going to be a whole series of words like this that all have behind them an intent, an evil intent. I look at God, if he let me see him, I would look at God and shake my fist in his face and say, "Get away from me." That's what he's describing here. And it's awful.
Yes.
And we all used to be there.
That's exactly right. And this is just a retelling of what he wrote in Ephesians 2, yeah. 1 through 3, that we were all dead, spiritually dead in transgressions and sins. We followed the ways of this world. We followed the prince of the power of the air. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. We were all by nature children of wrath. That's who we were. And so he's simply retelling yeah. that and giving a couple of new facets to what that condition was apart from Jesus Christ. So futility of their minds. Now, what does that mean? It means that they were seeking after things that were empty. That old way of life was an empty way of mm-hmm. life. It was vain. It was meaningless. There was nothing to it. It's what Solomon described in the book of Ecclesiastes. So that's the futility yeah. of their thinking. They were darkened in their understanding. So light is through truth. We get to see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ when we recognize truth. But when we're under the veil of the lie, it's just darkness. Mm-hmm. And so our minds become darkened in our understanding, how we perceive the things of this world, what our worldview is. It's a dark worldview. And that's what he's saying here. So our understanding is darkened. We're alienated from the life of God, separated from the life of God. That's the big problem. That is the stark reality. And if you look out there in the world and you see humans living without God in their lives, it is horrific. It is a horrible thing that we are witnessing. I mean, just yesterday, 47 killed in a mosque in yeah. New Zealand, in the town Christchurch. It's kind of ironic, isn't it, that yeah. that's where something like that happened. But we've seen it in the Jewish synagogue. We've seen it in a Baptist church. We've seen this horrific evil happen in all of these, quote, sacred places. And that's what life is like without God. And so apart from Jesus, apart from the grace of God making us alive together with him, we're alienated from him, we're separated from him, and that's because of our ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. We see this active rebellion toward God out there in the world. And so they've become calloused, and they have given themselves up to sensuality and are greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So if you don't have a connection to God, if you have never received life from Him, then you're reduced to just finding some type of pleasure through sensuality.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is. I mean, there's no other options on the menu. Money and sex, sex and money, money and sex. That's the way of the world.
Yeah.
And so when you're futile thinking, you're darkened in your understanding, you're alienated from the life of God, you're calloused in your heart, the only options that you have for is to give yourself over to sensuality. That's the only sense of pleasure you'll ever receive in this life. And it's a horrible place to be. So this is a reminder from the Apostle Paul as to what life was like before you were made new in Jesus Christ. And so that's going to become a baseline for everything else he's going to say to us moving forward in this particular section.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us for session number 9 in this Friday study series on the book of Ephesians. As I mentioned earlier, if you miss any of the sections along the way, you can do a catch-up by going to our website, basicgospel.net/teaching. That's where you'll find this particular archive. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, friends, and your gifts, that's what helps us continue on the air every weekday to produce excellent series like you're hearing each Friday. So please help us continue with your gift this month. Just visit basicgospel.net to make your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net. But now back to our study, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we see kind of this bleak, harsh picture, sharp-edged picture of what life was like apart from Christ. And he uses the word, uses the phrase, we're to no longer walk as the Gentiles do. So only the Jews, only the nation of Israel had the promises of God, the covenants of God, some hope. As he says, we were without all those things. We were without God. We were without hope in this world. That's what he said in Ephesians chapter 2. So he's just repeating that, and he's saying, now that you've been made new Gentiles, I want you to live in this newness of life that you have. Now that you've been recreated in the likeness of God, in holiness and righteousness, live out who you are. So that's what this passage is all about. So he's saying, you did not learn Christ in this manner. Mm-hmm. That you didn't learn Christ in the sense of, hey, he's stamped you with forgiveness. Now just go back to your old lifestyle. No, he stamped you with his life. He infused you with his life, and he rescued you from that old lifestyle, raised you up with Christ so that you could walk in the newness of life, yes, not in the way that the Gentiles did. So Paul was very clear in how he taught Christ, that this is something new that is going to happen to you, and you're going to experience being human in a fresh and new way. So we didn't learn Christ that way. We learned about Christ in a way that lifts us out of that so that we can walk in the newness of life. So then he says that we are to put off our old self or old man, and I think that's the right translation, man. The word there is the word for man, and I don't know why Bible translators have used the word self, but some have. But I think the right word is man, that we are to put off our old man, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So there was no fixing that old man is basically what Paul is saying here. And we need to learn that. There's no fixing that old man. We still have the desires of the flesh, and we want to fix those desires. But there's no fixing those desires of the flesh. The world's just going to continually corrupt those desires. So we need to put off that old man. Now, what does it mean to put off? Well, it simply means to renounce. And you say, hey, that's not me anymore. These desires of the flesh tug at our hearts. You just say, that's not me. I'm renouncing you. I've become something different. I've become a new creature in Christ.
It's as strong a word, if you want an example, of what happens if you renounce your citizenship.
yes,
in a particular country. You literally have said to the world, I am no longer part of this group of people. I don't belong here. I want none of the benefits. I don't care anything about them anymore. It's a very serious word.
Yes, it is. And that happens a lot when people come to this country. Mm-hmm. They immigrate to this country. They go through the correct channels. And after years of studying what it means to be a citizen in the United States, they become citizens themselves. Mm-hmm. And in that ceremony,
yes,
they are renouncing their old way of life. Mm-hmm. And that's what Paul is saying here. We need to renounce. We need to lay down that old way of life. He said it in a different way in Romans 6. He said that we are to count ourselves or calculate ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Why? Because that's true.
Yes.
That's just truth. So let's live in that truth. So this isn't something that we're doing on a daily basis type thing. It's just recognizing this truth. And when those desires of the flesh come, we say, hey, that's not me.
Yeah.
That is not
no
me.
Longer part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we put off the old man, and we're to be renewed in the spirits of our mind. So Paul said, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Yeah.
So God's Spirit is going to renew our minds so that our minds line up just point by point by point to who we are in Christ Jesus. So we're going to be renewed in the spirits of our minds. And as we are, we put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, what's important for us to understand in this is the context. And again, he's talking about body life. He's talking about how we treat one another as fellow members of the body of Christ. So oftentimes we'll read this little section and we think in the quietness of our office or bedroom or wherever we like to be reading the Bible, that this is a decision we make just by ourselves. And it really needs to be a decision in the context of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So he's going to give us some very practical ways of putting off and putting on this new self that was created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, that's good news right there,
mm-hmm.
that I was unholy before I knew the Lord, and now I've been recreated in Christ in his likeness in true righteousness and holiness, as the writer of Hebrews said, that by this will you have been made holy once and for all by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Indeed,
that's
it is.
That's good news.
Yeah.
So if we're holy, let's live that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you hear each day on Basic Gospel. It's the good news. And friends, we're glad you're with us for the study in the book of Ephesians with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis with a reminder that in addition to our Friday study sessions, we have many resources to aid your understanding of the Word of God. Among them is Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If you'd like to know how the Christian life is really supposed to work, that's a great resource. Also, Richard Pfeiffer's Bottom Line Study, Revelation, It's No Mystery. I highly recommend both of these resources to you. You can find them when you visit store.basicgospel.net. That's our regular website with the word store and a dot in front of it, store.basicgospel.net. But today, we're in the midst of our study in Ephesians. So, Bob and Richard, let's get right back to it.
Well, thanks, Bob. So, we put off the old, renounce it, lay it aside. That's what it's talking about. And let's just recap what the old man was. It was me without the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That's what the old man was. So I was separated from the life of God. But I'm not that guy anymore. That guy died in Christ, and I've been made new. I've been made alive with Jesus, and God's Spirit lives in me. So I will never, ever, ever, ever be Bob Christopher without the Spirit of God living in him. Richard, you will never, ever,
never.
Ever be Richard Pfeiffer without the Spirit of God living in you. So that old man has died, and because that old man did not have the Spirit of God, there was only one way of life for that old man to live, and it was this dark path. It was this giving in to the desires of the flesh. It was just giving yourself over to a life of sensuality. But that guy died in Jesus, and a new guy has come alive, a guy that has the Spirit of God living in him. So that's what makes us new. That's how we're recreated in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So this is who we are. This is who we are as believers in Christ. Something has happened to us that gives us the opportunity to experience life in a qualitatively different way. Not just an improved way, not something that's just a little better than what it was, not something that is now on the good side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but something that actually emanates from the tree of life.
Yes.
Okay? So that's a big deal. So therefore, and this is what this whole last section of this passage is all about. Therefore, having put away falsehood. Now, that word put away is the exact same word in the exact same tense and everything as the one that we just read, to put off your old man. It's the exact same word. So how do we put off the old man? Well, we're going to put away falsehood. We're going to put away lying. We're going to put away telling those sort of things that can really hurt and harm other people. So therefore, having put away, and notice it's kind of a past tense thing, having put away falsehood, let each one of us speak the truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. So you've put off lying so that you can speak the truth.
Yes.
That lying was old man stuff, and it didn't get you very far. It didn't. It got you in trouble. It didn't bring about the desired results. Truth will. So speak truth. And here's the reason: because we belong to one another. We're members one to another. So it doesn't make sense to lie to a fellow member of the body of Christ. What's the only reason that you would lie to somebody? To take advantage of them. Maybe there's a couple of reasons. One, you're going to take advantage of them, so you present a lie. Somebody was just arrested here in the Dallas area for lying about some investment possibilities. They had a Ponzi scheme going, and they were lying to people to get them to invest. And so they took the money, and then they would use it to pad their pockets, and then they'd get somebody else into it. And so they lied. Well, that wasn't beneficial. That guy's going to jail, and all these other people have lost their money. It was harmful. It was not beneficial to do that. So we need to put away this falsehood and speak truth, because we belong to one another. And when we're operating from the basis of truth, when we're honest with one another, then we're going to see that the body is going to build itself up in love. That's the body working properly. Man, it gets out of whack when lies start to enter the picture. Next thing he says, be angry and do not sin. So, you know, he's not saying that you're not going to have that emotion of anger ever, that this new creation is just going to be robotic as far as emotions are concerned. But he's saying this new man isn't going to be controlled by anger. How often do we see people controlled by anger out there in the world? Road rage on the rise. And it's unbelievable the stories that you hear on the news today of somebody that gets cut off and they go up beside them and pull out a gun and shoot the driver that cut them off, or they have fights, or it is just unbelievable what's happening out there. Well, that's old man stuff. Letting anger control you, letting anger direct your activities toward one another. Well, anger does not produce the righteousness of God. So he's not saying, hey, you're never going to have that emotion, but he's saying, hey, allow the love of God to be the controlling factor. Mm-hmm. So he says, don't be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with it. Deal with it in love. And that's going to be a positive thing for married couples. I think that's an important truth to latch on to. If you're mad at your wife or you're mad at your husband, don't go to bed that way. Deal with it, and deal with it honestly, truthfully, and you will see your relationship stronger than ever before. He says, don't give the devil a foothold. Boy, that's old man stuff. We've renounced that. We've put that off, and we've put on the new. Paul said it another way. Don't give any opportunity for the flesh.
Yeah.
Why? Because when we do, the devil takes that and starts accusing us.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
we start to doubt. We start to wonder. And we start to question the love of God. So don't give that devil that opportunity to do that. And then he says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So this corrupt, I love this word. It means to rot or to be rotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of rotten stuff that can come out of these mouths of ours that tears down people. It doesn't build them up. That judges them, that makes them feel less than who they are. Well, that's not new man stuff. That's old man stuff. You've died. That old man's gone. So allow the Spirit of God to do his work in and through you and how you communicate to those who are fellow members of the body of Christ. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, this word grieve can be to make sad, to make sorrowful. It can also mean to offend. And we think, oh, I've done something wrong. So the Holy Spirit is just in the corner crying, and he's just had an awful day. No, it's actually talking about the fact that we're not allowing the Spirit to do his work in and through us when we choose to tell lies, when we choose to speak with rotten, corrupt language, when we choose to steal from others. That's not the work of the Spirit in and through us. That's old man stuff. And he knows that when we do that, we're causing harm and pain and injury to the people that we're supposed to be loving. And so that's the grieving element of this. And I think we can see that as parents. When our kids don't get along, that grieves us. We want them to get along, and the Holy Spirit wants us to get along one with another. So he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice be put away. Again, the exact same word that we saw earlier. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So it all gets back to the love of God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The first way that we get to experience the love of God is in receiving his forgiveness. And that's how we get to extend the love of God to others.
Absolutely. Well, friends, thanks for being with us for this study session in the book of Ephesians. Great job, guys. Thank you for that. We hope you'll be with us every Friday, but if you miss any of the sessions along the way, be sure to do visit the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there, and you can do a catch-up anytime. A quick reminder also that when you click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal to make a gift to Basic Gospel, you're helping keep this ministry on the air every day to proclaim the truth of God's grace and Jesus Christ. To help, just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal, and we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Keep in mind, too, that over the weekend, our listener line is open, as it is always, for you. If you have a question, leave us a voicemail. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday for Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.